Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is in memory of Rory Gallagher, written and read now by Dermot Bulger.
In the mid-1990s, I was chairman of a company called Music Base. And Music Base was set up to help young Irish musicians from being exploited. Its chief executive was Keith Donald of Moving Hearts fame, the saxophonist, and we were based in Temple Bar. The receptionist was from Finglas, and she began to get phone calls just as she was going home in the evening from an Irish musician in hospital in London. And he knew nothing about us, but he was just basically lonely, I think, and he wanted somebody to talk to, and he knew that we were involved in Irish music and helping Irish musicians, and he would talk to her for 20 minutes, half an hour in the evenings, and his name was Rory Gallagher, and it just seemed an extraordinary connection of this guy that I'd seen in Dublin cinemas playing concerts, was talking to the receptionist, and at the end of his life was just desperately reaching out for people to talk to. When he died, I suggested to Keith Donald that we open a book in Music Base, and that anybody in Dublin wanted to come in and wanted to leave a tribute to Rory or a message for Rory would be able to write in the book, and that we'd then pass it on to Rory's brother in Cork. And I sat down and I wanted to write something myself, and so what I wrote was a memory of my father was a sailor, he was at sea an awful lot, my mother had died when I was quite young, and my house, because I lived alone, became the epicenter of many parties in Finglas, in which many shades of music were played, but at a certain time of evening, Rory Gallagher would go on, and that was a sign of serious music. And so this poem that I wrote on the first page of this book to be passed on for anybody to write and contribute to is simply called In Memory of Rory Gallagher, 1948 to 1995. There came a time on teenage summer nights when a free house had been found, and a cheap stereo rigged with strobe lights that froze each moment in your mind. You just knew when the crowd had waned and the wasters had long gone, that soon the clued-in boys remained would put Rory Gallagher on.
Dermot, tell me a little bit about you listening to Rory Gallagher as a young man. What was his effect on you? Because he's a real iconoclast in his own way.
His effect was very important, because I remember, the first time my brother brought home a Tin Lizzy album, and there was a song on it, The Friendly Ghost of Clontarf Castle, and then Tin Lizzy brought out an EP, and there was a was essentially a poem put to music by Phil Lynott called Dublin, and there was that sense suddenly that my city was in music. And before that there was Rory Gallagher, and there was a sense of somebody who was a master musician, who was steeped in the blues, who was as good as Eric Clapton, who had torn down joining the Rolling Stones, who was from Cork, from Donegal and Cork, and who was essentially Irish and yet part of that wider world of music outside. And so that was very, very important. And who came to Ireland and who played concerts in Ireland at a time before you had the Point Depot, before you had all these big bands coming to Ireland. Also, you also had the Troubles in Northern Ireland, and he came and he played Belfast, and people in Belfast regarded him as a hero because he came there, and people in Cork as a thing. So he had all these things, and in some ways he was part of that wider world of the blues and of American music. And another way, I remember being 15 and hitchhiking in Donegal and coming across the last of the Shanachie, the last of the travelling fiddle players, a man called John Doherty. And John Doherty might seem very different from Rory Gallagher. He played the fiddle, he went around tiny villages, he didn't play concerts, but he was listening to Gallagher talk. You always had that thing of music is meant to be a young person's music, But Gallagher was in there for the long haul, and he always said that as he got older, he would get better and better as he would understand the blues more. And in some ways, although he was a figure that could have come out of the American Deep South, he was essentially Irish, and he was like those Donegal travelling fiddle players, like those Clare accordion players, who actually was a man who was immersed in music, who was like a fine wine, was maturing and getting better and better. And so I actually sort of had a great sense of affinity with him. And also, being a poet, you live a slightly subterranean existence underground. You don't really make the front page headlines. And Rory Gallagher didn't really make the front page headlines. He wasn't sort of that. There wasn't great gossip about him, though. He wasn't on Top of the Pops. There wasn't huge hits about him. He was just quietly getting on with the business of making music. And that business was the business of his life. And his life was music. And as somebody who was a writer whose life is woods, I recognised a kindred. Well, obviously, I never met the man. But I recognised a kindred spirit in him.
It's funny that you compare him there to the fiddle player that you met in Donegal, John Doherty. Because I get this sense when I try and look back on videos of Rory Gallagher and clippings of articles of Rory Gallagher, that he kind of came out of nowhere. He kind of emerged out of thin air, because this is the Ireland. Only a couple of years before this, the Dubliners were on Top of the Pops singing Seven Drunken Nights. Was there that sense about him when he was playing around in Ireland, 1970s?
Well, you might know, I'm not as old as I look, so I can't go back but one forgets about that the Dubliners were extraordinary in their own right, and they were the punks of their time, they were the pogues of their time, and that when something like Planxty came along, it was extraordinary how that was, and how they dug into a tradition of music going back to Joe Heaney and all these singers. And sometimes you go back and you hear these recordings of old men in rooms singing songs in Irish, and then you realise that's a song that Planxty totally revolutionised and Christy Moore sang. And so Gallagher was also someone who was a keeper of tradition. He wasn't the keeper of an Irish tradition in the sense that he was a keeper of tradition of the American blues, but he was, he in some ways he came out of nowhere in an Irish context. He began earning his trade in the show bands, which was tough because it was crap music, but it had to be played really, really well, and had to be played for very, very long. And so you worked hard, you earned your keep in them. It was a very, very good training. Actually, Jimi Hendrix Experience wound up playing in the show band in Cork for many years afterwards. But there was the Green Beats, there was sort of Skid Row, there was a thing of Irish music happening here. So there was always radical, independent Irish voices tuned into what was happening in music and being part of it. But Gallagher was unique in going out on his own and in leaving a mark across the world of somebody who was respected as a musician in every country in the world. Wasn't a household name in every country in the world, but when you, like Roy Cooter, for example, the American guitarist, that sort of, he wouldn't necessarily be known to everybody, but anybody who understands music understands and respects Roy Cooter. And Rory Gallagher was the only Irish musician, really, who actually had that respect.
Mm. And in terms of Rory Gallagher and others like him, the Phil Lynott and the Tin Lizzies of the time and the other Irish superstars of the time, I mean, it was kind of Van Morrison, early 70s, and then as he got on, you had the Bono and U2 and even the Blades in the late 70s in Dublin. Did they have any profound effect on you? I mean, I hope I'm not trying to crowbar a comparison between yourself and Rory Gallagher in here, but in the way that he brought blues to an Ireland that hadn't really, was only just waking up to that music yet, did you ever try and bring a representation of Ireland that it hadn't woke up to yet in your work?
I would want to stretch the comparisons in any sort of way. When Raven Arts began in Vingness, we did have road shows that had music and poetry. We had possibly the world's worst ever punk band, and that's from a very, very long list, called News to the Deaf, who only played one gig and broke up midway through their first song in the Wexford Arts Centre, which lasted around 17 minutes on a Raven Arts road show. And you were trying to combine music, and certainly the ethos of Raven Arts came out of the ethos of punk, of people making it, which was Gallagher was way before that sort of time. But what you had is that I remember one of our poets, Conal O'Connor, talking about writers being as invisible and as essential as plankton. And someone like Rory Gallagher was as invisible and as essential as plankton. He was there, he was in the background, he was getting on with the business of, he never compromised. And I think that sort of was the detriment of his career. He could have been a far better known name around the world if he had actually sort of, if he had been prepared to alter his course. But he wasn't. He was a guy that had one particular vision of music. One of the great tragedies in some ways is that the last years were difficult for him. I can't speak much about his life. But it's amazing how people of that time wound up going into oblivion and then wound up having these extraordinary resurrections. And I mean, a band like Slade playing Glastonbury and being stunned by the reception they got from the crowd and everything. And so in some ways, you would have loved to have seen Rory Gallagher, re-emerge, be rediscovered in a way that, say, like Lou Reed and people were rediscovered, but rediscovered by a whole generation of young fans if he had lived. But the records are there and the records speak for themselves.
Dermot, it's been a real pleasure talking to you this afternoon, and thank you very much for letting me into your home as well.
My pleasure.
Born in Dublin in 1959, Dermot Bulger is as prolific a writer as they come. With 9 novels, 9 volumes of poetry, stage plays, radio plays, as well as having edited numerous anthologies. And through it all, Dermot has remained a lifelong Rory Gallagher fan. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
Nearcast.
Nearcast, your community podcast network. Listen to podcasts about society, people, poetry, board games, and many other topics. Subscribe to a program today. Learn more at nearcast.ie and find out how you can get involved.